Joining me by phone this morning is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning to you, and thanks as always for having me.
Good to have you with us. I want to talk a little bit about the Farm Bill because this is such an important issue for the nation, but particularly for our region, of course. The Senate passed its version of a Farm Bill. You and Democratic Senator Mark Pryor both voted against it, saying it's unfair to Southern farmers. What's going to happen now in the House?
Well, I think that is the case, and that's why Senator Pryor and I did vote against it. In the South, we're more concerned about not yield because we fertilize, we put irrigation to it. What we're more concerned about is the price of the crop after you do all of those things. And so I feel very confident. We've been working with our friends in the House. Rick Crawford is doing a good job over there. Frank Lucas, the chairman, and then also the chairman of the Ag Committee in the Senate from Michigan has also indicated that she's very open to making sure that we get a farm bill that is fair to all of the commodities. So that's, we're moving forward. I feel good that we're going to have a good outcome when it's all over. But it's just going to take a lot of hard work to get it done.
Yeah,
Senator Pryor's done a great job, provided a lot of leadership in that area. So, again, it's just everybody working together. As you mentioned, it's not only important for Arkansas, but it really is important for America. We're blessed with the ability to provide the lowest priced food for their population of anyone, and the safest food supply. So that's what we're trying to maintain.
Yeah, this is a huge piece of legislation. It affects virtually everyone, not just farmers. There's so much in this legislation.
There is. This is almost $1 trillion over 10 years. It's a tremendous amount of money. Most of that money has to do with the food stamp program and things like that. But it really, for most of our states, not just Arkansas, the farm community is the leading economic sector of our states. And so, again, it's very, very important. And also, it's the bright spot when you look at balance of trade issues. We're exporting a lot of food. We're blessed. We're in a situation where we are exporting. What we don't want to do is get ourselves in a situation like we are with oil. And we've lost a lot of our manufacturing. We don't want to lose our ability to feed ourselves.
Of course, the House is going to have its version of the bill, which may be quite different, and they're going to have to agree between the House and Senate bills. Is this going to get done this year, and is the South going to be okay with what comes out?
I think the South will be okay with what comes out. Again, we're working with our colleagues in the House to ensure that. The good thing is that everybody wants to get a farm bill done. And so I think that, that there's an excellent chance that we'll get it done this year. And this is one of the things, we talk about the economy and how important it is to grow the economy. These are the kind of things that hinder growth, because if our farm community doesn't know what their rules are going to be for the next 5 years, it's very, very difficult to make decisions. In fact, I was with a young farmer last week, and he was telling me that he needed a new tractor and some other equipment, and these things are very, very expensive, but he's putting that purchase off till he has a reasonable expectation of what to expect in the future. But these are the kind of things, when you start putting those things off, it really does impact the local economies.
Right. I understand the Senate's currently debating flood insurance. What's going on with that?
Well, that's another issue that's very important to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Senator Pryor's doing a good job of providing leadership in the area, protecting, making sure that these areas behind levees that have never flooded before, that all of a sudden that their flood insurance, that they're going to be required to buy flood insurance. So we're working with him and, trying to make sure that we have a bill that's fair and equitable and is not going to significantly increase rates or cause, the need to buy flood insurance where it simply is not needed.
Yeah, I know this has been a very critical issue for a lot of areas in northeast Arkansas, particularly in these areas that are behind levees but have never flooded.
No, you're exactly right. And, we've had, this last go-around was probably a 400-year flood. And it's inconceivable to me to call an area, you know, a dangerous area that is needing flood insurance, you know, when it went through that without any problem. We're not talking about areas. In fact, you know, we probably should do more for these areas that are very flood prone. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, these are safe areas, and we need to make sure that they're not required to buy flood insurance.
I know there's a lot of anticipation in Washington and around the country as we wait to hear what the decision is going to be by the Supreme Court on the federal health care law. And that decision expected to be revealed tomorrow, and it's going to shake things up no matter what the decision is.
It is, one way or the other. You know, this law is not popular at all. I voted against it. It's simply, I believe that the individual mandate is unconstitutional, but despite that, the law, the way it's set up, is just unworkable. What was done was basically take a system that was really struggling, that needs reform, and instead of real reform, is just adding a bunch more people to the failed system and then shifting away who was going to pay the costs. So, you know, we're all sitting back waiting to see. I think that there's a good chance that they will throw out the individual mandate, which is the funding process for the bill, makes it very difficult for the bill to go forward. The rest we'll have to see. In regard to portability, you know, it shouldn't be that you lose your job, you lose your insurance, things like that. Having the ability, I'd like to see the ability for people like my barber to, you know, it's got two or three employees to join with maybe 1,000 other barbers and go into the marketplace and get the same deal that a major corporation gets. Those are the kind of reforms that we need, buying across state lines. You know, again, those are free market reforms that would tremendously drive down the cost.
Well, the fear that many supporters of the law seem to have is that without some kind of government oversight and regulation, the big money and influence of like the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies, and the healthcare industry will have free reign to do things like charge whatever they want, deny coverage whenever they want, and basically cut people out of doctors and patients out of the healthcare decisions.
No, I understand, and yet, you know, we were told that if the law passed, that you'd be able to keep your current insurance if you like it. The studies I've seen that say anywhere from 30% to up to 80% of employers, because of the expense, will just pay the fine and move their people into the government-supported program. What'll happen then is that with the shrinking pool, cost will go up even more. You know, for private insurance, more employers will move theirs over. So we're seeing tremendous increase in cost now. If the law is implemented, the studies I've seen say that the average household will have about a $2,100 increase in their premiums, you know, over a period of the year. You can't take in the instance of Medicare, you're essentially cutting $500 billion from the Medicare program to pay for this new program, adding 30% more patients with no dollars for infrastructure and things like that. Something's got to give, and that's going to be quality of care. Adding tremendous, you know, new amounts of Medicaid patients, putting that mandate on the states. Arkansas is going to have to come up with about 250,000 more. Somebody's got to pay for all that, and the reality is that's going to be the taxpayers of Arkansas.
Another controversial Supreme Court decision was one addressing the Arizona immigration law. Much of the law was struck down, but the court upheld a key part, saying it's okay to require police officers to check immigration status during traffic stops. Controversial topic. What were your thoughts on this decision?
Well, I think it's sad that we've gotten ourselves in this situation. And again, this was under the Bush administration, now much more under the Obama administration. We simply are not enforcing the law. And so as a result, you've got tremendous amounts of lawlessness going on in Arizona. And so this was an effort by the state to say, look, if the federal government's not going to control this problem, if they're, you know, not going to make it such that our citizens are safe and this and that, it's a tremendous cost incurred, we're going to have to do this ourselves. So the Supreme Court struck out some of that, but they did uphold the most important part, that being that they could, you know, with reason, you know, if they felt like there was due cause that somebody was there illegally, they could check that out. And very importantly, those that were in arrested, you know, for things, to make sure that they were legal citizens before they let them out on the street. So we need to enforce the law. I was really disappointed, you know, just a few hours after that decision was made, the Attorney General Holder basically said, don't call us anymore. If you've got an immigration problem, if he wants to pick up people, we're not going to respond. And so that was a real thumb in the eye of Arizona. Again, they're just in a situation. They've got tremendous problems getting no help at all out of the federal government.
A somewhat related topic, the president made a policy announcement stopping the deportation of children of illegal immigrants and allowing them to get work permits when they're old enough. What are your thoughts on that decision?
Well, I don't think that the president has the authority to do that, regardless of how you feel of that issue. And the country split, you know, over whether or not that's good policy or bad policy. But the president just did this. You know, a year or so ago, he said that he didn't have the authority to do that. So I don't think he has the authority. I think he's just taking things into his own hand. We're a nation of laws. And again, you know, we should have respect for our institution. And so I don't think it was right. In regarding to the policy, we need a full comprehensive plan. We've got to secure the border. We've got to hold employers accountable through an E-Verify system or something like that. And then we need a good visa program to help our farmers, people that we all agree need additional labor. But until you do that, you're just going to have the same problem repeated. What we don't want is the vehicle for getting a green card to be attendance at our public schools. If that's the case, then our public schools will swell with illegal immigrants and things, if that becomes the route. And, again, that's not fair to citizens' children, you know, that are trying to get an education. And then also the taxpayers of the communities that will have to pay for that.
Of course, one of the big problems in our neighbor to the south is the Mexican drug cartels. And a House committee is now trying to investigate this fast and furious debacle. It was an undercover government operation to try to get to these Mexican drug cartels that went horribly wrong. I think everybody acknowledges that. The committee, of course, wanted to hold U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress for withholding documents that they requested. The president then invoked executive privilege on these documents. There's concern, I understand, about leaks of sensitive intelligence information getting out to the press surrounding this investigation.
Well, I think what's happened is that there's the sensitiveness of the information probably indicates that they knew a lot more about what was going on than what Attorney General Holder has said. And this was an operation, I believe, that was designed to push guns down into Mexico and then come back and say, well, all of these guns are going down into Mexico. We need stricter rules concerning our Second Amendment rights, our ability to have guns in the United States. And I think that's the fear, is that as they get this information, that they will see things along that line. Again, whether you believe that or not, the Attorney General has a responsibility. Congress is Congress, and they have the right to request this information. The president has invoked this, and yet how do you invoke this when you say that you don't know anything about it to begin with, and then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you're invoking executive privilege about conversations that didn't occur? So it's just an effort to protect the Attorney General, and again, we're a nation of laws, and I think all of this, is just an effort to circumvent the rules and regulations that we have in place. We saw this with the czars. We've seen it with the president when he said that the Senate was not in session, when the Senate said that they were in session, with the recess appointments of the National Labor Relations Board, and it just goes on and on.
Could there be ongoing undercover operations that might be compromised by the release of certain documents?
Well, I think everybody agrees that certainly those things should not be released, but there's ways to handle that. The other issue that's going on now that is as big or bigger than the border issue is the issue of us having leaks within our national security. And we're in a situation now where we've got countries where it's questionable as to whether or not they're going to share intelligence because of these leaks. And you had people that have actually died as a result of this. You've had decades of hard work getting people in place that all of a sudden, you know, that was blown because, you know, the president appears to want to, you know, be macho in the sense of his handling of the war against terror. So that is another huge issue, but you can handle those things. There's ways to do it where Daryl Issa, you know, the chairman who has, you know, the top security clearance, you know, those things can be looked at without them going any further than that and deciding, you know, if it was, you know, if it truly is national security.
Well, we are about out of time. Thank you for your time today, and we'll pick up on these topics and more next time we talk to you.
Well, again, thank you so much for having us, and I look forward to being in the studio with you.
All right, thank you. Senator John Bozeman joins us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. Apparently, we had some technical difficulties at the beginning of this interview. We apologize for those technical difficulties, and we'll work to improve and get those worked out in the future. It's 8:35. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.